Hi, everybody. Tom here. Just a quick note before we start this week's podcast. We have a guest host this week. It's Ryan Spillett filling in for Dan P. We had some Skype issues with my connection between me and Ryan. Not sure what the problem was exactly, but you might hear some weird noises at times. Also, we had to edit out portions where it was just inaudible. So if your favorite game is missing, I apologize. We probably had to cut it out. And I apologize for any other audio problems, but we'll get it fixed for next week. Thank you for listening and enjoy. Take the point, 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 take the point. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Take the Points. It's week four. I think it's week four. Yes, definitely week four. I am Tom Zalesnok. I'm in Hartford, Connecticut. And I am coming to you live over Skype with not Dan Partridge. Dan is off on a romantic weekend getaway with Doris Burke. In his place, Ryan Spillett, our fill-in host, and now back for your third or fourth time, Ryan?
Yeah, I think this might be four now. Thanks for having me on, man.
Anyway, Ryan's got the swing of this thing down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited, ready to go. New season and, you know, lots of lines, lots of games to win.
So how's life out in Phoenix?
Phoenix is great, man. Love the weather. It's just starting to get down to a nice even 100. Feels nice. And things are great, man. Things are beautiful.
I hope you don't mind if I share with everyone, but you just got a coaching job again.
Yeah. I'll be coaching lacrosse at Grand Canyon University this year.
That's really cool. You took a year off or 2 years off? Now you're back at it?
Yeah. First year off since probably like the sixth grade.
What's it like playing a sport for so many years and then coaching a sport for, 10, 12 years, and then finally having a year off? You're almost like an NFL player who's just retired.
It felt like it. It was, it's a little different with lacrosse because you don't see as much of it on TV. I think with things like football and basketball, it's on TV, it's covered so much. That's why guys want.
Well, to me or to the listener, yeah, it's not the same. But to you, I mean, you're involved in lacrosse your entire life. You know, we're from upstate New York. They had us playing at Shove Park when we were like zygotes.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird not having anything to do in the spring, for sure. But it was actually kind of nice. I mean, it was the first time since the sixth grade that I didn't have a spring commitment. And, it was nice to just relax and do some really fun things, you know, go to some Suns games. I got to go to the Phoenix Open golf tournament this year, followed around Phil Mickelson and Ricky Fowler for a bit. So there's a lot going on, and it was really fun to just take a couple months away and really explore Phoenix.
So you're more like Shaq in retirement, where you're going out and enjoying life and becoming a volunteer state trooper, and less like Michael Jordan, where you're just itching to get back all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm back in the coaching, but it's not going to be, crazy. It's not going to be a huge commitment for me, but it's just something to keep the juices flowing and keep me involved.
Well, good. Congrats, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And now that'll be the last lacrosse talk of the evening.
Correct.
So we're taping on Tuesday night. It's about 9:00 Eastern. And we're a couple days out from Bama Ole Miss, but that was such a crazy game. I feel like we do need to review it before we get into the lines.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the game of the week. And, I thought it was a great game. What were your impressions?
So I watched the beginning of the game. Then we had some people over. So I didn't watch for a few hours. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to miss it all. Little did I know it would go till 1:30 in the morning. And I actually ended up catching the entire fourth quarter. Just a crazy game. Although I didn't see the whole thing, seemed like it was a game of back and forth runs. Ole Miss is really impressive. We said before the season that they were loaded with talent, one of the most loaded teams in the country. And it would all come down to the quarterback position. And Jim Kelly's nephew looks pretty damn good. He's very confident. He makes good throws. He got a little bit of luck as well, but that happens with any good team. I'm really impressed with Ole Miss. They jumped from 15th to 3rd in the rankings, and I think it's very deserved. I can't think of three teams that are better than them right now.
Yeah, I mean, they played a great game. They had a really, really great game plan. You know, I think they took a little bit of the NFL and they were doing a little bit more NFL style, which I thought was cool. Jim Kelly's nephew's he's a baller, man. The kid can play, and you could tell he was raised watching the K-Gun, as you and I were raised watching the K-Gun, because he's got that mentality, and it's fun to watch. And their defenses, they fly, man. They fly to the ball, and it's a man's game down there in the South, and they were impressive. I agree.
And no disrespect to Bama, too. I mean, I thought they struggled a little bit, but they still look like your normal Alabama team. Powerful running, great defense. The defensive line played well. Ole Miss is that good, and I think they're going to be a serious contender this year, somebody to watch out for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're definitely a team that, you know, they're one of two or three teams that I think have a legitimate shot to make something happen.
I think this was the first week where things started to become clear. We didn't really know how good some teams were. All right, so Ryan and I were just talking, and Skype crapped out on us, so I don't know where we left off. Ole Miss is really good. Bama's still good. LSU's damn good, which we'll get to. And a few other teams in the SEC West are very good as well. One of them is very questionable right now, but we'll get to them as well. The only other game I'd like to talk to before we get into the lines is Stanford-USC. Just, you know, people had written off Stanford, and they had lost to Northwestern 16-6 in week one, and I think everybody just said, well, this team's no good. Well, it turns out Northwestern is now 3-0, and Stanford now has a win over number 6 USC. So you, as our Pac-12 representative, what do you have to say about the game and then about the conference as it stands right now?
I thought the game was a good game. It was an entertaining game. I think that the rivalry games, no matter how up or down a team may appear to be, those rivalry games are always going to be rivalries. And I think for the most part, they're going to be pretty competitive, closer games. And, you know, I expected that game to be pretty close, and I thought it was really an entertaining game.
Now, so do you believe that Stanford played that well only because of the rivalry, or do you think they're actually coming around and becoming a better team?
I mean, I think they're definitely getting better, but I think the familiarity with the foe helps, scouting reports, things like that. I mean, I think that makes a huge difference, and I think that was definitely a big factor.
Okay, so big news. The new poll just came out, and the Big Ten is now ranked 1 and 2, with Michigan State sliding up to number 2. A year ago, Ohio State had lost to Virginia Tech. Everybody was saying that the Big Ten is garbage, that they wouldn't even make the playoff. My questions for you are, will the Big Ten hold up now that they're the top conference, or at least the top two teams? And then who is this year's team or conference that's undervalued now, that's being written off in the way that the Big Ten was written off a year ago?
One, I don't buy this Big Ten stuff. I just don't buy it. I think Ohio State's good. I think Michigan State's really good.
What don't you buy specifically?
I don't think anyone else in the conference is any good. I think there's no depth in the conference. And to be honest with you, I think that a lot of the voters are making up for all of the crap that's been dumped on the Big Ten for the last four years at least. I think they're trying to make up for it. I think the Michigan State ranking is faulty. I don't think Ohio State's the top team right now.
Well, Ohio State was the number one team at the beginning of the season. They haven't lost, and that's sort of how college football's always worked. I think it could be a statement on preseason rankings, and maybe they're not necessary anymore now that we have the playoff. But then what would Danny Cannell and the guys on ESPN talk about all week?
No, I agree. I mean, I think you have to leave Ohio State 1 right now. I get that. But I also think that the Michigan State win was a good win, but I don't think they're number 2. And I think putting them at number 2 is just a makeup for all the crap that's been dumped on the Big Ten.
So who would be your top teams right now?
Right now, I think that I would have, to be honest with you, I think LSU is the best team in the country. I think LSU is really, really good at all facets of the game. It's already starting to feel like a weird season. And whenever there's a weird season, Les Miles just has a way of making magic happen. That guy's the king of weird stuff anyways. And I just think that whenever there's one of those seasons where no one really is sure what's going to happen and what's going on and anything could happen, I think those are the years that Les Miles just comes up and makes miracles happen sometimes.
So are you making a bold prediction about LSU right now?
Yeah, I think LSU is going to win the championship. I think they are the best team, and I think they're gonna end the year as the best team. Les Miles is a great coach, and he always comes up with ways to make it happen.
That seems a little premature, I would say.
Oh, it's obviously super premature, but as we get into...
That's like American Pie premature, though.
Well, I don't think so. I think a lot of people were crowning Ohio State before the season even started. And a lot of people were crowning them before the season even started. So I think, you know, after a few games, I have a decent feel.
What about your Pac-12? They've sort of been written off. Oregon's dropped a game. Now USC's dropped a game. UCLA almost dropped a game to BYU and barely won. But Josh Rosen has come down to earth. Are they being undervalued right now?
I think so. I think they're being undervalued a little bit because they just don't have a lot of sexy names. You know, usually the Pac-12 has some flashy superstars, and they really don't this year. I mean, like you said, Rosen's a good player, but he's a freshman, and he's not a flashy superstar. He's a good quarterback. You know, I think the same thing with the USC quarterback. He's not your typical Sanchez liner looking, you know, type of guy. He's just not that flashy guy. And, you know, Oregon has a brand new guy who's only a senior, so it's you're getting to know a guy who's going to be gone in a year. So I think that's why they're being undervalued. But I think this weekend is the big coming out party for the Pac-12. I think this is going to be three super entertaining games.
My theory is, and I'm sure people have said this before, but they're really hurt by the fact that their games begin at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast. People say there's an East Coast bias, but the bias is people can't stay up till 2:30 in the morning to watch Washington versus USC. You know, I know Cody Kessler is good, but most people aren't going to stay up and watch him play.
No, but the media people, that's their job, and that's what DVR's for, and they need to watch those games. Man, I lived 30 years on the East Coast, and I've been out here for 3. There's nothing better than Pacific Standard Time games. Trust me, it's the best.
Yeah, Partridge says that every week, that I'm a little, I don't know, I'm torn on the waking up and having NFL games on at 10 o'clock, but maybe that's better. You know, you watch the game and then you get on with your day.
At our age, do you really need to be drinking beers and eating shitty food at during the games anyways? No. We've moved on from those days, so I think now that we're older, the 10 a.m.'s fine. 10 a.m., that's still sleeping in a lot for compared to our work days.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I can't sleep till 10 a.m., but my feeling was, I guess I'm just so brainwashed into doing things before the game and trying to get home on time that it's never even occurred to me to watch the game and then go out and live my life.
There you go. And that's what I've learned is, like you said, you finished that Alabama Ole Miss game at 1 a.m. It's still 10 o'clock, man. On the West Coast, like, it was still, you know, still time to do up stuff if you need to do stuff.
I've been living in a house of lies.
Yeah, this is definitely Pacific Standard Time is the way to be.
Arizona's my favorite state because they just say fuck you to daylight savings time. Daylight savings time is coming up in Connecticut. It's already starting to get dark. Today it got dark around 6:50 p.m. You know, just a month ago it was 8 o'clock, 8:30, something like that. Now it's already not even lasting till 7. Then one month from now, when it'll be closer to 6, all of a sudden they flip this switch and it's 4:45 and it's dark, which is a horrible life plan. I know it's for farmers or sailors or some shit like that, but it's totally useless in this day and age. And I love Arizona because they just looked at daylight savings time and they go, no, we're not going to do that. The rest of the country did it. They just go, nah, we'll just join mountain time, you know, for half the year, and then we'll join Pacific time for half the year. If you don't like it, it's too bad. That is one of the examples where people talk about states' rights. That is the best use of states' rights of all time. Just like, nope, we're good.
It threw me off when I moved here. I was like, what do you mean I don't move my clock? It's the best. It's great. Half the year, my NFL starts at 11 a.m. And then the first half of the season, it starts at 10 a.m. It's great. I love the no daylight savings time. The rest of the country needs to wake up and realize it's a useless tradition. Move on.
It's the rotary phone of timekeeping.
Correct.
Needs to go. All right, Ryan, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get into week 4 lines. We got a lot to go through. So, game number 1, we've got Navy at UConn. UConn is a 6.5-point underdog, which is pretty nice. UConn, man, 2-1, impressive loss, if there is such a thing, last week. 9-6 against Missouri, the second best team possibly in the SEC East, and UConn holds them to only 3 field goals. And UConn's playing on the road in that game, by the way. They've got a good defense under handsome Bob Diaco. Diaco led Notre Dame to the championship with Manti Te'o and his fake girlfriend and a great defense that year. He's done the same, it seems, for Connecticut. Not the same as Notre Dame's defense, but he's made a defense-heavy team that is really good at stopping the run, stopping the pass, holding teams to low-scoring games, and he's done well in that regard. Their offense is utter dog shit, of course, but I think they can cover a 6.5-point line against Navy, and I think the under is a pretty good bet at 50.5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Missouri's quite as good as they have been the last few years. They had that weird situation where they had like 4 or 5 players in a car accident together before the game, and that was kind of a weird situation. But I think the under is a pretty safe bet.
Next game, Kansas at Rutgers. Now, I put this on here for an important reason. This, I believe, may be the worst matchup between Power 5 teams of all time. You've got Kansas 0-2, lost to South Dakota State, and then blown out by Memphis. And then on the other hand, you've got Rutgers 1-2. They did manage a win. Their team's a complete dumpster fire. They have legal issues. Kyle Flood has been suspended. I don't know how he hasn't been fired. He won't make it through the year, I don't believe. But they've got their interim coach. It's a 12.5-point line for Rutgers, which is really embarrassing if you're Kansas. Also a 66-point over-under. I do not advise betting this game. You might want to take the under because both these teams are garbage. But I just want to get your thoughts. Are we witnessing history, the worst game of all time?
It's pretty damn bad. I think that Kansas is just an utter embarrassment. Maybe a couple of years ago when those really bad Colorado teams were around, the Colorado-Kansas might have been that matchup, but this is definitely up there as maybe the worst ever. Rutgers is just Rutgers. They're a state school in New Jersey. You really expect them to be anything other than this.
Yes, New Jersey has a lot of good football players. Most of them go to Penn State or other schools, but they've got players. I mean, Rutgers is the state school. People in New Jersey like Rutgers. They should be good. At least they should be better than they are.
Well, what I'm saying is that state's such a dumpster fire. Do you really expect the state-run school to not be a dumpster fire, too? It's just the whole thing is just incompetence. They're all that school sucks. Move on.
All right, Central Florida at South Carolina. South Carolina is a 14.5-point favorite. UCF is absolutely terrible this year. They're really bad. I mean, they lost to Florida International. They haven't won a game, I don't think. South Carolina's not great either. They just announced they'll be starting a true freshman quarterback, Lorenzo Nunez, which sounds like a Steven Seagal character from the 90s. But I have to imagine South Carolina's got to win this game. The ball coach might be on the hot seat. I think he needs to pull this one out. I think he will pull this one out. I even think he's going to cover before going down in flames the rest of the season. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's going to cover. I think that is definitely a game they're going to cover. A freshman quarterback, people are excited. Now, are we 100% sure that Nunez is not just Steven Garcia sobered up from a few years ago?
It might be.
Confirm that this, can I see a birth certificate? This isn't just Steven Garcia fresh out of rehab.
You think they're pulling a Dan Dickow, Blake Stepp, Adam Morrison situation at Gonzaga where it's all just one guy in different numbers?
I think they're pulling a Utah BYU where their quarterback just stays for 9 years and nobody questions it.
It could be. Nobody knows who the BYU quarterback is. This year they do. But do you know when Taysom Hill started playing? He could have been playing there for 12 years. Nobody knows.
Oh, Travis Wilson's been in Utah since, like, 04. I'm pretty sure he's been their quarterback since Alex Smith left. So I don't know what's going on with them.
I call this the Dan Conley All-Stars, guys who just play for 10 years, named after famous Syracuse linebacker Dan Conley, who played for legitimately 7 years in college.
Yep, 7 years.
Who are those guys for you this year?
I think Taysom Hill and Travis Wilson are 1 and 2. Those dudes have been quarterbacking in the state of Utah for a long time. Those guys for sure. I think the dude at Baylor, the offensive lineman, he's been there forever, it feels like, too. He's going to go high in the draft, I think. Not that many this year. There's not too many that I've seen yet. But it seems like there's always those weird, you know, Utah State, you know, Washington always seems to have a quarterback for a long time. So I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, I think Cody Kessler, I don't know if he's only a junior this year. He seems like he's been there forever. Maybe it's because 12 other guys have tried to start over him and transferred out, like Max Wittick and a bunch of other dudes. So if he stays another year, he's definitely going to seem like one of those guys. I think the Mdiche, I can never pronounce their name, the guys at Ole Miss, maybe because there's two of them, it seems like they've played double the amount of years. And besides them, I don't know. Some of those Alabama running backs, Henry is starting to seem like he's been there forever. All right, speaking of BYU, they go to the Big House and they play Michigan. 4.5-point line. I've not yet watched the Michigan game. I had one Michigan game against Oregon State going on my laptop while I watched another game on TV. But that's the closest I've gotten to watching the Harbaugh era. So have you seen them? Do you have any thoughts?
I think this line is wrong. First of all, 4.5. Nope. It's 6. Vegas Insider has it right now. It's 6. 5.5 most some places.
I am going by sportsbook.com.
Yeah, I'm going by Vegas Insider. But the line's too high. It's trending higher. It's 6, 5.5. It's too much. I think 4.5 is too much. I think 3, the standard home field 3 is all they get. And even that, I wouldn't bet it. If you had to have me pick a side, I'll take the points.
I agree 100%. So BYU beat Boise. They beat Nebraska. I know they were on Hail Marys, but they won the game. And they almost beat UCLA. I don't see why Michigan should be such a big favorite over them. Not a huge favorite, but I think this game should be right around a pick 'em, personally. I'll definitely take the points. I think Michigan could easily squeeze out with a field goal win, but take the points. Make some money. Free money, everyone.
BYU seemed to have a horseshoe up their ass for 2 weeks. Why would you not take the points with them? Something weird might happen.
But that horseshoe, that luck already came around against UCLA where they lost by one. I think they proved last week that they're no fluke by taking UCLA, leading them with about 3 minutes to go when UCLA finally took the lead and held on to win by one. BYU is the real deal, and I don't think you can argue that at this point. Okay, Ryan, game of the week. LSU comes to the Dome, 24-point favorite in some places. Other places don't even give you a line. Now, there's a lot to go through before. I'll let you pick this game, but man, let me just get this out of the way. So Syracuse quarterback Eric Dungy, concussed, listed as, quote, probably doubtful, which is the next Oasis album title, I think. Original starter Terrell Hunt, as we know, is out for the season. Last year's starter AJ Long has a broken bone in his hand, and he is, quote, not throwing well enough to start. So that leaves us with two guys who will platoon. We've got redshirt sophomore Austin Wilson, who I believe took a few snaps last year. Then we got a guy named Zach Mahoney, of course, because half the people in Syracuse are named Mahoney or have some similar Irish name. He is a preferred walk-on. And as a coach, I thought maybe you could tell me what a preferred walk-on is, because I have no idea. And then you can go ahead and make your pick.
Preferred walk-on is just somebody who was basically told they would make the team, but they were not on scholarship. That's all it means. It just means that he didn't actually have to go to an open tryout to walk on. He was a preferred walk-on, means that he was told he would have a roster spot, he just didn't have a scholarship.
So did he have to go to the tryouts as, you know, for show, or does he not try out at all?
I doubt he even tried out at all. Maybe he went and just threw just because they needed arms, you know, to throw to the receivers, but he didn't have to perform to make the team.
All right, well, you tipped your hat earlier, tipped your hand earlier, sorry. But why don't you go ahead and pick this game? Do you think LSU can knock off the mighty undefeated Syracuse?
I think they'll beat them by 50.
That's it? You don't think Syracuse has a chance? They could shut down Fournette. Maybe Fournette will fall through a hole in the Carrier Dome's like crappy surface.
And they still have six more running backs that are all much better than anything Syracuse can stop.
I've heard that this is going to be a big game for Syracuse. The Dome, people are so excited, the Dome might end up three quarters full.
They're going to sell a lot of Labatts, but it's not going to help.
Yeah, so I think we're in agreement here. Lay the points all day with LSU. Syracuse is not on the same level as this or any other SEC team.
No.
But Syracuse is getting better, so kudos to them, and you're going to get blown out this week. So have a bunch of blue lights and enjoy.
Yeah, it's just the only tough thing about this for Syracuse is just like a few years ago with Clemson. You know, there's really no home field advantage because you're indoors in a dome and the weather does not play a factor. And when you have teams with superior talent and athletic ability, putting them on turf with no elements, not going to do you any favors.
Yeah, they actually might have found a way to make Leonard Fournette better by putting him on that turf.
That's why the Bills ended up with Sammy Watkins and trading up for him. So their coaching staff was on the sidelines in the dome watching Clemson dismantle Syracuse. That's why they did it.
It's going to be bad. But if you live in Syracuse and you like football and you don't go to this game, you should be barred from Carrier Dome events for 3 years. There's no excuse for going to a different Syracuse football game this year and not going to this one.
Yeah, if you're going to go watch Syracuse, go watch a team you're going to see, I think, win the national title.
Right. If you went to the Wake Forest game and you don't go to this one, you should have your tickets revoked. I'm putting you on notice, Syracuse. Go to this game and drink a lot of blue lights and watch them lose.
And just be happy you actually got this game and they didn't stick you down in New Jersey like they did when they played Notre Dame.
That's another good point. Turn out or you'll never get a good team to the Dome again.
Never. They'll send you down to New Jersey instead.
All right, Northern Illinois at Boston College. Upset alert, spill it.
Yeah, I don't know that it is an upset. I don't think BC is really that good. I think their defense is excellent.
Well, they're a four-point favorite.
Yeah, so I guess by the letter of the law, it's an upset. But I don't think anybody would be surprised if this game came down to the last possession. But what I do want to say, as bad as BC is typically has been lately, I do want to say their defense is excellent.
I'll give them that. I mean, they look great against Howard. They even look great against Florida State. Kept 14-0 against Florida State. There's no such thing really as a moral victory, or maybe as the coach you can say that there is, but that's as good of a moral victory as you're going to get if you're BC.
I mean, you put some excellent stuff on tape, and if you say moral victory, I say great opportunity to learn from really amazing film.
All right, a couple games we'll get through very quickly. Rice at Baylor, 35-point line. I'm going to urge people to stay away. Rice is underrated, and Baylor is yet to really prove anything, even though we assume they're great and they're going to keep blowing teams out. Make them prove it first. This is too many points to lay. Next game, Massachusetts at Notre Dame, 28.5-point line. Similar, I think. I don't like UMass this year. I picked them as a sleeper team, and they disappointed me, and now they're dead to me. But Notre Dame, with all the injuries, asking them to win by 29, 30 points is asking for a lot. Also, I feel like they're due for a karmic smackdown after Drew Tranquil, the safety, is now out for the season from jumping up to celebrate and then landing on his knee. I feel bad for him, but I think this might be the time to end the, the back-to-back jump bump celebration?
Yeah, it's a stupid celebration anyways, and I do want to make one point about that. I was watching that game live, and where that injury, for people who weren't watching that game live, with the luxury of surround sound especially, where that injury happened in the side out of bounds of the end, in the end zone, that's where the boom mic is. And when he went down clutching his knee, screaming in absolute agony, there was no reason that the cameraman had to zoom in on his face and jack up that boom mic volume. We don't need to hear the kid screaming in pain. We don't need to see the spit coming out of his mouth when he's yelling because you got the camera in his face. He's a kid. Back off. Understand the situation that he's hurt. You don't need to zoom in on a kid like that.
I feel like people forget sometimes that these are kids, maybe because they're such high-profile athletes or they're on TV or they're paid lots of money under the table, but they are kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you don't need to zoom in on somebody that's hurt, and it was very clear that he was significantly hurt.
All right, well, moving along. San Diego State comes to Penn State. It's a 15-point line, and it's a 40-point over-under. I've been telling you not to bet on Penn State all year until they got better. Well, guess what? They got a stud freshman running back named Saquon Barkley, who had his breakout, his coming-out party last weekend against Rutgers. I know Rutgers is no good, but this kid is really good. Penn State's offensive line is getting a lot better in run blocking, if not pass blocking. I may be wrong. I don't believe they've allowed a sack since the Temple game when they allowed 10. So they went from 10 sacks in one game to now 10 on the season through three games, which is more respectable. Penn State is not going to win the Big Ten. They're not going to compete for a playoff spot, but they're going to be decent this year if they keep this up. San Diego State, on the other hand, is not good this year. They're one of those teams you always think of as the underdog who can beat people, but this is not their year. So I'm proposing a hook, 15-point line, and the 40-point over-under. Hook it. San Diego State's not good. Penn State is improving. And they're going to win this game by like 25 points. So it's going to be good.
I like it, man. Good analysis. I'll agree with you there.
You want to get into Western Michigan at Ohio State? You don't have to pick the game, but do you have any thoughts on Ohio State thus far?
Not without a lot of four-letter words. Move on.
All right, Tennessee at Florida, one of the best rivalries in football. Hasn't been good the last few years, though. But this game's a 1.5-point line in favor of Florida, the home team. So that tends to indicate that they actually think Tennessee is slightly better, because you usually get a 3-point bump just from being at home.
Yeah, that's right. Tennessee is the better team. Tennessee is without question to me the better team. I think that if you're going to get a point and a half for a point, absolutely take those points. Absolutely take them.
I'm a big fan in this game of taking three or more. If you can ever get 3 points on one side, go for it. This game seems to always come down to a field goal every single year. I'm making that up, of course. I have no idea what it was last year or even the year before, but seems to me over the history of this game in our lifetime, it's come down to a field goal more times than not. So stay away, and if the line moves to three, take it. Take the points.
All right.
Oklahoma State at Texas. I have zero thoughts except that this seems a little too easy. But am I just missing out on free money by being too cautious? Or is Texas hiding something?
No, this line is super shady. It is really, something seems odd. I think this has to be a stay away game because I don't understand the line. I don't know. Vegas knows something we don't.
Yes, that is the number one rule of betting. Well, we say the number one rule of betting is don't bet against Alabama. But the number two rule of betting then is when a line seems too good to be true, that means Vegas knows something. Because Vegas is smarter than you always. No matter who you are, no matter how good you are at this or how long you've been doing it, Vegas is always going to be smarter than you. So when you see a line and you think, wow, Oklahoma State should win that game by 30, something's up. And I don't know if Chaz Strong has some tricks up his sleeve or if Oklahoma State has guys missing that I don't know about. I should note that I've done no research into why this is off. You don't need to. When you see a line like this, you should know, just stay away.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely, if you don't understand it, you're probably not going to. So just save your money.
Right. This isn't like politics on Facebook, where you don't need to know anything to comment. You stay away if you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
TCU at Texas Tech. Man, TCU just got two more players suspended. That's breaking news as of about a half hour ago. Texas Tech, Kingsbury's fired up. I don't know what to think about this one. I haven't seen a lot out of TCU that I like so far. They seem like they should be performing better in that what we thought was going to happen to Ohio State, where they just got too cocky and didn't care, that seems to have happened to TCU, but maybe it's too early to judge that.
It might be a little early. I think TCU needs to be careful about poking the bear a little too much. And by the bear, I mean the Bears, the Baylor Bears. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Coach Patterson's press conference.
I just heard the one quote about that team down south, where, for those who haven't heard it, TCU got two players suspended for, was it armed robbery or just not unarmed robbery?
No, it was getting into a fight at a party, knocking a dude out, and stealing all their Keystone Light.
Is that what happened?
I can't make this shit up, man. Beat up a dude and stole his Keystone Light.
Wow. On ESPN, they just say robbery.
Nope. Stole his booze. Bad booze.
All right. That's clearly a misdemeanor. I mean, if it was like Sam Adams Oktoberfest, you might get felony status, but stealing a Keystone, you could argue that he's doing them a favor.
Probably. But there's no need to come out there and start poking the bear and running your mouth. That's just not a good look for TCU. That's not what TCU's ever been about. They've always been a pretty blue collar team. And yeah, I know they've switched styles to score more points, but they still have that personality. They're losing that. And that's not good.
Keystone Light is the official beer of kickball. I don't know if you've seen their box.
Oh, and softball too.
And softball. What if you're a football player? That's not for you. You leave that keystone to the softball players and the kickball players.
I agree.
I don't like this crossover shit.
In the TCU game, I would say stay away from the line. I would absolutely take the over.
79?
Doesn't matter. Take the over.
Sounds like a lot to me. I'm staying away entirely.
Here's my bold prediction. There will be 3 games this weekend that total 100.
I am going to say treat this game as if you're a 30-year-old and the game is a 30-pack of Keystone and stay away.
Bet the over. Have fun.
All right. So you're saying treat it like you're an 18-year-old and it's a 30-pack of Keystone and go nuts.
Go nuts. Bet the over. 100 points in this game. There it is.
At what age did you stop drinking Keystone, Busch Light, Natty, Beast? Was it immediately when you graduated college, or was there a lag time?
No. Immediate.
I mean, because you stayed in school, not like Mr. T style, but, you know, you went back to grad school and became an assistant coach, or what do they call it?
Grad assistant, yep.
Grad assistant. So when you were a grad assistant, you were still in a college environment. Do you drink shitty beers, or do you say, like, I have to set an example for these younger kids and you start drinking better beers?
No, I just had very easy access to Canada, and I just got their way better beer than this weak American shitty beer. So
Triple X, Molson Dry?
I mean, I had the border right next to my campus, and I was up there all the time. So for me, it was that.
As somebody who went to undergrad and then graduated and never went to school again, never learned anything again, some might argue, what is it like being older, being a grad student? Like, how is it different than undergrad?
It wasn't all that much different. It's way easier. Grad school is twice as easy as undergrad, for the most part, depending on majors, but that's the way it's designed, so it should be easier. I thought it was interesting. I obviously had a different situation because even though I was a grad student, I still wasn't going to the bars because I worked for the school as well. So I never really had that experience of having to be the older guy at the bar fitting in with the younger kids because I had my townie bar that I went to and I stayed away from the college bars working.
I guess that answers the question then. You become an adult, or at least a pseudo-adult. You go to different places. You carve out a different life. It's not an extension of college.
Yeah, I moved on pretty quick.
All right. Good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, good.
You have any thoughts on Texas A&M at Arkansas? I've been going back and forth on this one. Bielema and Arkansas really need a pick-me-up, so they could be dangerous. Then again, Texas A&M's my number one sleeper team of the year. I expect them to finish in the top 10 at the end of the year. And I've been saying this, by the way, before they beat Arizona State. So all you bandwagon jumpers, welcome aboard, but don't try to steal my seat.
Okay. I think this is a game that you just you put the money on A&M and you feel pretty good about that. I think I would feel pretty good about that.
Is Brett Bielema a dick? The Cliff Kingsbury's comments about him earlier this week kind of seemed like they came out of nowhere. Like, he seemed way too upset for what transpired on the field.
I've read a few interviews and articles about him because I just thought it was a very interesting career choice of leaving where you're comfortable and going to an area that I didn't think he could be successful at. So I've read a bunch about him and I've read a lot of interviews with him over the last maybe 3 or 4 years. He wanted to prove that he wasn't, that he was a good coach, that he wasn't just inheriting Barry Alvarez's mastery. Cause let's be honest, that guy had a freaking great career.
Right.
He wanted to carve his own personality and his own coaching niche, I guess, but it wasn't the right call.
It certainly seemed like there were some underlying issues with Kingsbury. Now, I know about Bielema's speech at the Texas high school coaches camp, but that doesn't seem like enough to get Cliff Kingsbury, a guy I've never seen upset at all, really fired up. So I feel like coaches don't like him.
No, I don't think so. And Cliff is really trying to switch his persona too. He doesn't like this pretty boy GQ thing. That was a Texas Tech PR move. That had nothing to do with him. That was all, I read an article, it was all completely done by PR people at the college. They did it to try to get publicity. He's not comfortable with it, and I think he's now trying to maybe go heel. And I'll tell you what, if Cliff goes heel, I'm all in, man. I would love to see that.
Wow, so he is like Macaulay Culkin in The Good Son, or shaved head Britney Spears, or like recent Justin Bieber?
Yeah, you can. I guess so. I'd give him a little bit more of the, the Timberlake comparison, that he was kind of lumped in with a lot of those young, cool, hip coaches. He's more talented than all of them. And, I think that would, I like Cliff. I think he's a good guy, and I think he's a good coach. I think he needs to surround himself with better defensive people if he wants any chance of surviving long term. But I would love to see Cliff go heel. Please, we're all black. Every game, go heel.
The Big 12 is getting very personal. That conference, everybody seems fired up.
Yeah, it's they're ornery.
Definitely the angriest conference in football. They've taken over from the SEC.
Well, I think that's just the state of Texas in general. You get that many people in that Texas-Oklahoma panhandle, and you keep them around each other. And there's a lot of stability in the coaches there. And that's why I think that rivalry, that conference is so great, is how many coaches are under 3 years experience in the Big 12?
Yeah, there's more I could say, but I think it's time to move on. Cool. We got a few more games to get through. Let's do the next two quickly. Vandy at Ole Miss. Ole Miss favored by 25 coming off the huge win. I would warn people, this is the rare double combo letdown / look ahead game. Ole Miss, of course, just beat Alabama. They also go to the swamp next week to face Florida. So I don't think they're going to bring their A game against Vandy. I think they're going to win this game by about 14 to 16 points and probably look sluggish, and everybody's going to overreact on Sunday and Monday and say, like, what's wrong with them? Maybe they're not as good as we thought, but they're just going to lay up. And if they really blow out Vandy, then you know this is a very professionally run team. So we'll see. I wouldn't bet on this. Of course, I would never urge anyone to bet on Vandy. That would just be foolish. If you have to bet, take the over at 55. That's probably your best pick. Then the next game is Missouri at Kentucky. Kentucky football favored by 3 points. Missouri, you can't beat UConn 9-6 and then get my endorsement ever again, at least for the rest of the season. So sadly, I think I have to say lay it with Kentucky. Although you've also got a 44-point over-under in this, which is tempting. I'm going to say stay away on that game, in fact. Any thoughts on either of those, or should we just move along?
I do want to say I think that your point about Ole Miss and, it's only going to be a blowout if it's a truly professionally run organization, and I think they are. I think Hugh Freeze is, and I think the fact that they won the Alabama game on the road, and then next week they go on the road to Florida, this is their chance to be in front of their home crowd and to celebrate that Alabama win by putting on a hell of a show and showing them that it's no joke. That's the only reason I think it will be a blowout, is because it's sandwiched between two road games, and this is their one shot to show their fans that they're the real deal.
Are you saying that just because you're a Buffalo Bills fan and you like Jim Kelly's nephew?
Like 4%. The rest of the other 96%, I am buying into this game being a blowout.
Okay, nearing the end. Mississippi State at Auburn. Opened at 3. Now Auburn's favored by 2. Jeremy Johnson just benched for freshman Sean White, which is more breaking news. By the time you listen to this podcast, that'll be old news, but that just happened. So I don't know who Sean White is. I have no scouting report. Gus Malzahn says he's very talented, a talented young man. My question is this: with the chaos at Auburn, how are they favored over another SEC West team right now?
I can't explain it. Not only are they replacing their quarterback, but their best pass rusher is going to be out for probably a couple of weeks. Their top D end. So I don't know how they're going to set the edge against Dak Prescott in the running game. I don't see why they're favored. I would take the points.
Jeremy Johnson's getting a lot of the blame for their performance last week, but he's far from the only one struggling. Their team is struggling in general. It's foolish to think that just Jeremy Johnson is bad and they're just going to plug in someone else and all of a sudden they're going to be a championship contender. They got a lot of problems. They got a lot to work on. And it almost looks like a rebuilding year, which is strange for a team that was supposed to come in as a title contender. So it's too bad. I like Auburn, but you got to take the points in this game.
Yep.
Take the points. Go against Auburn until proven otherwise. Next game, Ball State at Northwestern. Northwestern, 18.5-point favorite. I don't have a pick. I don't have analysis. I just want to say congratulations, Northwestern, for starting off 3-0 and now being ranked in the top 20. That's awesome. I love it when smart kids succeed. So last week was a good week with Northwestern and Stanford's big win. If Wake Forest could just turn it around and Vandy, then we'd have all the smart kids succeeding. I guess Georgia Tech lost, so that was a blow to smart kids playing football.
There you go. And Northwestern, not only are they 3-0, but they beat three other academic schools. They swept the smart schools.
It's true. All right, Spillett, you're the West Coast guy. I think we've got three games left. I don't really know which should be considered the big game. It's a big week for the Pac-12.
Huge, huge, huge week.
I'm just going to list off these lines, and then you take it in whatever direction you want. We've got UCLA at Arizona, UCLA favored by 3.5. We've got USC at Arizona State. Big week in Arizona, huh? USC favored by 6. And then Utah travels to Oregon. There's no line on that game, probably because we're not sure who's starting at QB for Oregon yet. But give me your thoughts. Whatever game you want to start with, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll start with the local Arizona State USC game. I was listening to some local sports radio, and the consensus around town is that line is a slap in the face to ASU. That is what all the radio people are saying, is that they consider that line a slap in the face. I don't understand why USC is favored by almost a touchdown on the road coming off a loss. I guess it's just because if they get two losses, they're done. Their season's pretty much over. So I guess that's why it is. But I don't see why that line is what it is.
Well, I think that could be said for both of those teams. Whoever loses this is in a real bad spot, both for the Pac-12 South Division and the Pac-12 in general. And then obviously they're out of the playoff with two losses, most likely. So this is really a must-win for both teams if they have title or top 10 aspirations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, so I think that's a game that I would stay away from it, because as we said earlier, when the line seems really weird, Vegas knows something we don't.
I don't think, if I could cut in, you may be a little biased toward the home team. I don't think this seems weird from an outsider perspective. USC was ranked 6th. They lost in a tough game, as you said, to one of their rivals. Arizona State, meanwhile, hasn't really impressed in any of their games. So I think people are just assuming that USC is the good top 10 team and that Arizona State's a middling, like, 20th to 25th ranked team, and that USC is more talented, whether that's fair or not. All right, well, how about the other Arizona game?
Now, I have some more local breaking news for you. Scooby Wright practiced today. 3 weeks off of knee surgery, Scooby Wright was at practice participating with the first team defense.
Where are you finding this?
I'm getting this from my local Arizona coverage on the radio. He was at practice today, and that Scooby Wright was running with the first team defense.
That story has not made it nationally yet. I did not hear that. That's big great, news if true.
News. I think this is another one that you might call it home state bias or whatever, but UCLA barely came back with a freshman quarterback to win. Now you're testing him on the road in a tough stadium to play in. I mean, this is a stadium that Oregon came in and laid an absolute egg in. This is tough. And then one thing that I think my biggest point in this game is that in the entire time Rich Rod's been to Arizona, this is the first time he's had the same quarterback 2 years in a row. He's never had the same quarterback for two seasons in a row in his whole time.
And not just the same quarterback, but a very, very talented guy. Some call him the next Mariota.
I mean, he was all league as a freshman in a pretty damn good league for quarterbacks. And, I think this kid might be pretty good. I think having Scooby Wright, even if he only plays 25 to 35% of defensive snaps, he is their guy. He is their emotional guy. And I think UCLA...
Well, wait a second. There's no chance he actually plays this week, is there?
Heck yeah, he's going to play. If he's practicing on Tuesday, he'll be ready by Saturday.
Okay, I'm genuinely asking. I haven't heard any of this news. I just assumed he was going to be out for several more weeks.
No, I'm breaking the news here on Take the Points that I think Scooby Wright will play, and the consensus from the local media is that they think he's going to play.
All right. By the time people listen to this, that'll be old news. But we're breaking news after you've already heard it.
There you go.
That's what we do on podcasts. It's the one downside of podcasts. Many things are better about a podcast. For example, you don't have to like be loud or pander to stupid people or have Paul Feinbaum's dumb Alabama callers on. But the one thing that sucks is you're always a day or so behind. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. So what's the pick?
The pick is I am going to stay away from the ASU game, and I'm going to take the points with U of A.
All right. I am staying away from Arizona State. I don't believe Arizona State is as good as last year. I hope they are. I like them a lot. And, of course, they're your hometown team and Danny P's hometown team, but they haven't shown me anything this year. I'm taking Arizona in the upset, straight up victory over UCLA. It's my upset pick of the week, that and Northern Illinois.
All right.
And well, Utah at Oregon, any thoughts?
I think that this is going to be the most underrated game of the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Utah Utes straight up.
Wow. So what I was going to say is, I couldn't find a line, but I was doing the math in my head and I came up with roughly 9.5 is what I think the line should be. If I can get Utah at 10 or greater, I'm taking the points all day. I think Utah keeps this within 10 points. Whether Oregon wins or not, I think depends on who plays QB and how well they play. I think Vernon Adams is a much better QB than Lockie. So I wouldn't be shocked if if Utah actually got the victory. I would still lean Oregon for the win, but with the points, I think Utah's probably the pick. If this was in Utah, then I'd feel really strongly about Utah because that's a tough place to play. But in Autzen, I guess I'm going to say Oregon by 6.
Yeah, I think if you can get a touchdown or more, take the points. I think if it's under a touchdown, you take the home team. I think if it's a touchdown or more, you should take the points in this game. But either way, watch the game, people. Stay up late. Have a couple Red Bulls, take a nap during the Big Ten in the morning, whatever you got to do, but stay awake. Watch these three Pac-12 games, because I think these three games have the possibility to be three of the best four or five games of the weekend.
You're asking a lot. I was up till 2 in the morning watching football last weekend. I might have to. Plus, I got to drive to New Hampshire on Sunday, so I need my sleep.
Set your DVR. Watch the games.
We'll see. Might have to go to that. Now, Watch ESPN has all the games on demand. I complimented the Watch ESPN app last week, which I still like. This week, I would like to not compliment. What's the opposite of compliment? I'd like to insult an app. That app is Sling TV. You get that for a bunch of streaming channels. I first got it around March Madness time, and it was terrible. It froze all the time during the games. Then it really improved. Over the summer, I was able to watch live TV with no problems. Ever since football started, it's been a train wreck, freezing constantly. You can't even watch during a Monday Night Football game. I mean, the whole software doesn't work. So Sling TV, get it together. Putting them on blast.
And speaking of, I was told by regular correspondent Dan to ask you about a Spotify playlist.
Yes, I said I would make one last week and I did nothing.
Fair enough. He told me to bring it up because he assumed that nothing would be accomplished. So,
He was right.
and then I did ask him if he had anything that he wanted me to say for him on the podcast, and he said his one bold prediction: no SEC team in the Final Four.
Really?
Dan Partridge, write that down. Remember to ask him about it next the next podcast. But he's claiming to me that no SEC team will be in the Final Four as of right now.
Did he clarify whether they're going to get bumped by ACC, Notre Dame, a second team from another conference?
Nope. He's going to save that for the podcast, but he did want to put that out there as a bold prediction.
That's a big teaser. That's a huge teaser for his return next time.
Got one for the end so people can be excited to listen next week.
Well, I got a lot of questions. I guess we will forego Dan P's four-team teaser for the week. I was thinking about picking my own, but that's his thing. We'll let him do it. Anything else you'd like to add before we call it a week?
No, that's it, man. That was thanks so much for having me on. I had a blast. I enjoyed watching some games and enjoy talking about games.
Yeah, we had some audio Skype issues this week, but hopefully I edit it down and it sounds okay to the listener. Thank you, as always, for filling in. Fun, insightful, as always. I would tell everyone to go out and listen to Ryan Adams' new album, which is a cover of a Taylor Swift album, which sounds ridiculous, but it's really, really good. And you can get that on Spotify right next to the upcoming Take the Points playlist. Yeah, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. Do you want to give out any accounts? No? All right, no social media plugs this week then. See you all next week. Enjoy the podcast. Bye.
Take the points.